The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy, our new weekly Gaelic football show with Paddy Andrews and Andy Moran.
And you, Paddy Andrews, when is the last time you took a fucking penalty?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
So the 2021 Heineken Champions Cup final between La Rochelle and Toulouse kicks off at 4:45 on Saturday evening at Twickenham. Ronan O'Gara leading La Rochelle into their first ever Champions Cup final against the Toulouse side, bidding to win the trophy for a record fifth time. Three-time Champions Cup winner Brian O'Driscoll is with us. Evening, Brian.
Good evening, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just thinking if O'Gara walks away with this, you'll no longer be able to turn your nose up at his paltry two Heineken Cup titles.
Very true, very true. It's quite the start to his coaching career, really. You know, it's still very much in its infancy and in what he's capable of achieving. And I'm sure he would have had aspirations to get to the knockout stages of Europe, but would he have thought at the start of the year that they were going to be European finalists, sitting second in the top 14 league at the moment, right behind their finalists in Toulouse, Champions Cup finalists in Toulouse. So it's turning out currently to be a really great season for him. But when you get to the business end, you come up against the best of oppositions, and they're going to have to really turn it on again like they did against Leinster if they're going to manage to contain this Toulouse team that, you know, on paper looks great, but yet they're really struggling in a few positions from an injury point of view. So maybe it's a good time to get them.
His coaching career is still in its infancy, as you say, but there's no doubt it's still a massive moment. And I can't wait for a couple of weeks' time when he's reflecting on this week and what he's learned from this week. And he's so good at expressing what he picks up along the way. In this period, sort of 48 hours out, when you reflect on your career and the big games you played, Champions Cup finals, Grand Slam deciders, lines tests, what did you want from your coach in that period, and did it differ between the various coaches that you had at different times as to what they would want to give the players in the 48 hours before a big game?
But I think, you know, the good coaches know that the hard graft and the work, the detailed work goes on in the early parts of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and in fact even before that, even before you get to the final. I'm sure there would have been a bit of focus on Toulouse last week, the knowledge that they were playing Agen, a team that's almost pointless in the top 14, that's winless, and that they would have won at a canter with their thirds. So you would anticipate that maybe one of the days last week was given towards focusing towards Toulouse to make sure that they had a body of work under their belt before they came into this week. That's the way we would have operated under different coaches at different junctures throughout my career. And then, you know, you come in with something under your belt. It feels as though it's an easier week. There's less information to take on board. You have more clarity as to what you're trying to achieve on the Saturday evening. And to be honest with you, a lot of it now is about time off feet rather than, you know, running moves on field. They won't be plucking, you know, too many plays from obscurity, but they'll go to their playbook and they'll have analysed Toulouse and identified where they feel, you know, some of their nuanced plays might be able to pull them apart. And there's no better man than John O'Gibbs in coming up with plays, you know, particularly line-out plays. He had a history for it in Leinster. We've seen it subsequently in La Rochelle as well. So Rog will be adding his tuppence worth to that from an attack point of view. I think when you're coming into Thursday, Friday before a final, it's reinforcing those simple messages from early on in the week. The last thing you want to do is bombard your team with more information later on in the week. So simplicity, clear and concise messaging, and just trying to build confidence and reaffirm their position that they're worthy finalists and they're there on merit, and why not them? All this talk of, you know, you have to lose one to win one, and, you know, you have to build, you know, your credibility in the competition to justify victory, that goes out the window because they're in a final. And if they can deliver a better performance for 80 minutes, they're going to be champions, and it comes down to that. So form books go out the window, even though those they are the top two and the top 14, and they are the informed teams in Europe on the basis of their consistent performances. This is a toss of a coin as to who's going to turn up. Toulouse like favourites because of their history, because they're ahead of them in the top 14. But I really don't think there's a huge amount between these teams. And he's just got to leave it to his senior players now to try and guide them in for the last 24 hours and just, you know, be there for any nerves that might be there. But it's just about reinforcing positivity.
Yeah. Did you like or did you see coaches give the big rousing speech about the emotional tone and what it would mean to your family and to the supporters? Or did you like it just to be a calm, factual-based build up to the game?
More the latter. I think the occasion takes care of itself in finals. You don't need those rousing speeches. You don't need people to reinforce how big it would be for you, your family, the supporters, everybody at home, people that need a pickup in their lives because of the, you know, the circumstances we found ourselves in over the last year. No one needs to hear that because it's a final and the carrot is there. It's, you know, the hardest part is sometimes playing in a semi-final. But once you get to experience the occasion in a final and you get a shot at going to do something that no one's done in their club's history in La Rochelle. You know, they've never won a top 14. They've won a Pro D2, obviously. But, you know, the best they've done previously is a quarterfinal. So none of the pressure is really on them. Of course, there's expectation from their fans, but they're thrilled to be where they are. But the expectation is really all heaped on Toulouse to deliver. And, you know, they're the ones that are now chasing the first of these five titles now that Leinster are out of the tournament. So it's really a great position for John O'Gibbs and for Ron O'Gara to be in because they'll just do more of what they've done all season and preparing their team the best they can against the opposition they come up against. This one just happens to be a final and the emotion will take care of itself.
You know Gibbs very well as a coach and O'Gara as a player, but do they strike you personality-wise as perfect bedfellows on a coaching ticket?
I don't know. You know, I haven't gone there on a, you know, talking to Ron about relationships with Jono. You'd have to anticipate that, you know, it's not a perfect partnership. The fact that Jono is going on to Claremont, that Rog is going and taking the head job in La Rochelle. Why would you move from an environment that is clearly on the up, that is proving to be successful? So I don't know if everything is aligned between the two of them. I think that they've clearly got a huge respect for you know, each other's rugby knowledge. But anytime you look at the coach's box, they don't seem to be conversing very often. I looked up once and saw there was a bit of a heated argument going on, but there's no harm in that. So I just wonder, success paints over any crack. So I guess we'll never know. But I just don't know if it's a perfectly cohesive partnership. Mm. Otherwise, they'd be both signing 3-year extensions in the same club.
As you say, success papers over everything. But as players, if you're in a group, does it affect players? Do you look at your coaching ticket and want them to be on the same wavelength all the time? Or actually, is a bit of healthy debate a good thing? Or as coaches, do you need to keep that away from the players all the time?
No, I think for the most part, you need to keep that away from the players. The last thing the team wants to see is a lack of clarity, of, you know, split decisions, a lack of understanding specifically as to what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve. So I'd anticipate that both of them are very professional in that they, you know, whatever arguments or whatever disagreements they potentially have, and this is just me looking in from the outside, maybe I'm wrong on it, but you would anticipate that they've got a very healthy respect for one another from a knowledge point of view. John O'Gibbs brought Ronan O'Gara in as head coach underneath him, so he knew the wealth of knowledge that he was bringing. Obviously, he came with a great reputation from the success that he had with the Crusaders, from building his IP with Racing previously. So he came in knowing what he was getting in from a coaching point of view. I'm just guessing that the fact that he's moving on and Rog is taking his position, it can't be a perfect situation.
Mm. Well, listen, they may end up victorious and it'll all work out just fine come Saturday evening. The build-up is the New Boys against the Aristocrats. Is that fair, though, in terms of the previews? Because Toulouse haven't won this in 11 years. And like you mentioned, John O'Gibbs has three of them. Raj has two Heineken Cup titles. Victor Vito's a World Cup winner. Will Skelton has won the Champions Cup with Saracens. There's no shortage of winning experience in that La Rochelle dressing room, just maybe not in a La Rochelle jersey.
Yeah, like, you know, they've won bigger tournaments than the European Cup. As you say, World Cup winners, lots of experience and success littered throughout their team. Guys that have played on the big stage before, played in European finals, you know, been on the losing teams, the likes of Brice Doulin has been there, obviously Skelton with Saracens. There's not going to be any shortage of confidence for the big occasion. They've managed to deliver it on the semi-final level against hotly tipped favourites of the tournament in Leinster, and they put them to the sword, you know, for certain parts of the game, showed a physical dominance that I guess we weren't anticipating. So, you know, there's nothing that they should be fearful of with this Toulouse team. What I would say about Toulouse is that they can play the game lots of different ways. You look at the grunt that they possess up front with the Arnold brothers and that front row of Famuina and Cyril Bai. They're going to miss Julian Marchand, obviously getting suspended for a high tackle in the semi-final. But then you've got these magicians at halfback, particularly in Dupont and Entomac, pulling the strings for their X factor out wide in Labelle and Colby in particular. So they can really, you know, graft up front, but they play a lot of KBA themselves, keeping the ball alive, but they can be pragmatic and kick to the corners when necessary, but they also have beautiful sleight of hand. So I think they're probably the most complete team across Europe in the manner in which they can play conditions, raining, warm, freezing cold. We saw them in Ulster earlier on in the year up in Kingspan Stadium in a horrible night, where they still scored four tries and got a bonus point victory, even not playing great. So they are a massive, massive threat. And rightly so, I think they are just favourites because of what they've done previously, because they've won the Bouclier in France 2 years ago. They're technically still the reigning champions because it was abandoned last year. So they've got achievements under their belt already, and obviously they've got the history and prestige of what Toulouse teams of the past have done, and also there's the, you know, added excitement. Will it be the first father-son combination to lift the European trophy with Emile back in, was it 95, and Roman managing to do it in 2 days' time? We'll have to wait and see. So it's a, as much as we're disappointed, well, I'm personally disappointed not to see my old team Leinster involved, and I'm sure lots of people in Ireland would love to see that. It's still a very keenly contested final, and one that should deliver.
On the loss of Julian Marchand then at hooker, he was suspended for a dangerous tackle in the semi-final. It seemed a strange one in that it took quite a while for the suspension to come in. Not many people saw it at the time. You saw it.
Yeah, myself and Sam Warburton saw it in the BT studio, and you know, it was one of those games where there was very little happening, and it was probably a possible talking point. You know, they were only 5 points up with 22 minutes to go, even though it was, you know, it felt like a more comfortable lead than 5 points against Bordeaux. For me, it was a very simple red card. You know, it was a chicken wing, high shot. There was no bent, not bent at the hips, third defender in. So I don't know how the referee and TMO managed to miss it, but they did. But we highlighted it after the game. And since he has been suspended, I've had some interesting messages in Google Translate French into my direct messages on social media. My mum hasn't come out great from it, but it's been it's been interesting to say the least. And I've engaged with one or two.
Oh, really?
Of them. I think, you know what, it's funny. Like most people, you know, as soon as you engage, they tend to soften. And I had a conversation. This morning I had enough where I was like, are you guys still banging on about this? I said, it's not on me. My job is to call things as I see it. It's not to protect players. And if you're guilty of doing something, I've got to be able to tell the viewer at home what my opinion is, and that's the reality of it. I said, it's not my fault. I do feel for Marshawn. I really do, because he's missing out on a final. But I'm not going to feel guilty the fact that I had any say in bringing it to the authorities of question.
They obviously in France feel that you did.
Going to see it. Yeah, well, maybe, you know, they obviously do. And maybe, I don't know how it's been reported over there. That, you know, obviously I haven't been privy to what they've been writing in the
front page of the Keep
in the news. So yeah, but it's, and Sam Warburton's been in the same boat as me. He's gotten some, you know, spicy messaging, but it's, you know, to be honest with you, it's only Toulouse supporters, of course, because they're losing their captain. But I don't think anyone could be in disagreement. That it, you know, wasn't a red card offence on the protocol of what the high tackle framework, you know, is, or whatever I don't even know the new terminology of what they're calling it now. It was quite a clear cut red card, and unfortunately, he got sanctioned accordingly.
You don't need to defend yourself to me, Brian. Save it for Twitter and the trolls.
Yeah. It is important, though. It's, as I was saying, sorry, as well, about how they soften their, you know, it softens their cough, and how, you know, by the end of the conversation today, it was along the lines of, I really enjoyed this exchange. You know, we might differ on this point, but you enjoy the game now at the weekend from calling me every name under the sun in the initial one.
I'd say they were delighted to get the chance to have a conversation and occupy their afternoon. In terms of his loss for the game itself, so Toulouse have the best scrum in the competition. They've 100% success rate on their own scrum. He is such a big physical carrier and tackler. Up against this La Rochelle pack, which is monstrous in itself, is Julien Marchand, his loss, potentially a game changer?
It's a big loss, don't get me wrong. He's you know, they've pinned him as a captain at a very young age. He's been captain for a couple of seasons now. He's still only 24 or 25 years of age. So they saw something in him coming through the academy. I think he's a local boy. So it's, you know, he's kind of this new Toulouse personified. So I think it's not necessarily just the player, it's the person behind the player that is the loss. And Movaca is a very nice player and comes on a lot of the time with 25 to go and never disappoints, never lets the team down. So I think they've got a very good quality player to replace him. But sometimes it's about the personality, particularly in finals, a cool head and someone that, you know, delivers calm messaging, calm, concise messaging, as I said, Rog would be doing this week. I think you get that in the best of captains, and he appears to not have put a foot wrong. They speak glowingly about how good he's been in his captaincy role. So that's, I suppose, there's more of an onus now on the likes of Jerome Kaino to step up to the plate. I don't know what the Arnold brothers are like, but then Dupont and Entomac, even though they're young in age, you know, that this is their moment to shine and take some of the pressure and take the focus away from being one leader down. But I think it would be a stretch to say it's a game changing decision. If Cheslin Colby is gone, I think that's a potential game changer. I just think you can make up the difference in someone like Julien Marchand. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens in that front row and you know, what happens when they lock down in that first scrum.
Yeah. There are so many big men in both packs, whether it's Bailly and Femina. We spent a lot of time after the semi-final talking about Will Skelton on the La Rochelle side. With such powerful packs, what sort of game are you expecting?
Well, you know, you look at the kicking stats. La Rochelle kicked the ball the second most in the tournament, I think, or maybe even the most. So, you know, you talk, all the talk of KBA and keep the ball alive, they're an incredibly pragmatic team. What they do is they don't play an awful lot of ball in their own half. If they don't get over the advantage line, Ohio West gets into the pocket and he hoofs it in the air. Their kick contest is very good. And then they have some moments of magic where they have offloaders like Will Skelton and Vito and Aldred and these guys that are capable of unlocking defenses by, you know, their brutality, but also their soft hands after contact. And sometimes that puts a shine on the way a team plays the game. the conversation around KBA couldn't have happened better from Rodgers' point of view. It was against Gloucester, and it was a really standout performance on how they wanted to play the game. Maybe not against the opposition that you would anticipate Gloucester could potentially be. They might have been a little bit soft and let them come through them and let them play that game. But in the rest of the games that I've analysed, there hasn't been this crazy amount of offloading that the whole conversation around KBA would suggest. So they know how to game manage. They know how to keep the scoreboard ticking over. They've got very good discipline. Defensively, I think it's probably the part of their game that I've been most impressed with, in that their willingness to bounce off the ground and have second impacts after the tackle. And getting back into the line, making sure they can add to the line speed, covering the backfield with adequate numbers. They just seem to do everything well. And then they have the occasional moment of magic with some of these massive units too, that can turn back foot ball into front foot ball and create these great moments that we have been lucky enough to be privy to. So it's a bit of a mixed bag from the way La Rochelle play. So it's hard to know what you're going to get from them, other than they will continue to kick the ball a lot.
They're going to need a bit of everything as well against that halfback pairing for Toulouse, probably the most exciting in the Northern Hemisphere, with Dupont at 24 and Entomac at 22. Just before we chat about them, Ron Nogara was actually on with us, I think it was back in February around the time of the Six Nations, and he was talking about Dupont and just how highly he rated him.
You know, for me, Dupont is up there already. He's the best player in the world for me. But when you talk about Messi, you talk about Ronaldo, I think in 5 years' time, they'll be talking in the same glorified way of Anton Dupont. He's a serious, serious player, Ger.
So what do you do?
To stop him?
Yeah.
Or to stop the French attack?
Well, so you've obviously been game planning for Dupont. We James Collin on during the week as well, and he was talking about it. And it's like, look, you just try and be smart and be as disciplined as you can. But there will be a bit of targeting going on. He reckoned specifically of Dupont, so maybe it's different for you guys. But when you're coming up against him, and if it's him and Entomac, if they're both fit, what do you do in your game plan to go, when the nine gets it, this is how we have to behave?
Well, it isn't as simple as that, I think, because where Dupont excels as opposed to any other nine in the world for me is his capacity in broken field play. So his support lines are on a par with Aaron Smith, and that's basically Aaron Smith's game, his fast pass and staying upfield and getting a second touch and scoring. But what Dupont does better than anyone else is that he gets on the ball in chaos or in unstructured play, and he has a go. And there's absolutely no gaps and little tread, it seems, and bang, he goes off his left foot, he goes off his right foot. And he is incredibly strong. He's a little pocket rocket. And all of a sudden, he's 20 metres up the pitch. And you saw that example against Italy where he blindly left the ball. He's going this way and he blindly leaves the ball that way without looking. So that's his norm.
Yeah, that was Ron Nogara back in February talking to Jair around the time of the Six Nations on Antoine Dupont. All our rugby and off the balls with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team of us, everyone in. Brian O'Driscoll is with us looking ahead to the Champions Cup final. A unique bit of insight there. We'd often say, well, what will Ron Nogara do to stop Antoine Dupont? Did you gain any knowledge as to what he will do?
You know, the thing that he didn't say there is you got to stop it at source. You know, it's... you got to make it very hard for him at ruck time. He is someone that plays quite well on the back foot as well as front foot, and that's what makes him the great player that he is. He doesn't need that armchair ride for him to find an opportunity to crack a defence. He'll wait for his opportunity to look and find the necessary mismatch or find someone that's carrying a knock, or just do those trail lines time and time again. Or, those high trail lines, preempting where the line break potentially is going to be. But we've talked so much about that stuff. It's the rest of his game, the quality of his pass, his box kicking and his exit kicking is really good. Gosh, against Clermont in horrible conditions, he was phenomenal in just not doing anything magical, but doing everything very, very efficiently and just keeping his team in it, keeping them ahead and forcing the opposition into making errors. And I think that's what you get from the best players around is on their day, they're unmarkable. But, you know, when things aren't going for them, they're still able to find something, some little, you know, kink in a defense or some little, you know, capable, you know, hole or something where they can find a way into the game. And more often than not in finals, in teams that are closely contested, it's only one or two of those moments. And that's where the best players find them. So, yeah, it'll be if they can keep Antoine Dupont quiet at the weekend, it will go a long, long way towards suppressing Toulouse.
Have you seen many occasions over the last couple of years where teams have been able to keep him quiet?
I haven't been honest. Every time I'm on TV and we're talking about European rugby and we talk about Toulouse or even France, indeed, it's very hard not to speak about him because Rog is right. I compared him to our version of Messi, last weekend or 2 weekends ago, because that's what he is. He's a game breaker. He's the sort of person that when crowds go back, he's worth the admission fee alone just to watch him. I would sit there and if I was a nine, an up and coming nine, I would literally just have player cam on him for the whole match and understand his shortcuts, understand his decision-making, understanding his eye line as he comes running into every ruck, how he's identifying whether the pillar is in place, who that pillar is, what their footwork is like, what their body shape is like, because all of that is feeding into his next decision as to what he's going to do with the ball. And if everything looks okay from his perspective, he passes it. All he needs is one opportunity to realize someone's overfolded or someone's been caught, in through a line or a ruck clear out where they've been knocked off and they're going to be short one number, and that's when he snipes. And that's the brilliance of the really great rugby brains. And we're lucky that we're living in a time where he's playing some magnificent rugby. If he continues this way, he'll be one of the best nines of all time, right? No doubt.
And I guess when you make the Messi comparison, the difficulty for opposition coaches when you would look at that Barcelona side is you could spend all your time dedicated to how do you stop Messi, but like Barcelona, Toulouse have a Iniesta in Entomac and they have a Colby in Xavi, that there's always somebody else, if you spend too much time on him, that can do massive damage as well.
But he's a creator, exactly like Messi, he's a creator. Yes, he gets an awful lot of tries and run-in tries, but, talk about it again about what Rog mentioned with that pass, against Italy. He's not selfish. He will throw that final pass. If there's a chance he might get in, but a certainty someone else will get in, he'll throw the pass. And so as soon as you think that you double team or triple team him, he will create space for other people. And that's what the best players have to do, because they'll find more heat on them. They'll find that, those yards, the easier yards in the early parts of their career are harder to come by. So you've got to find a way to create opportunity for other people. And then when things soften up again, you have your opportunity come back at you. So he's magical in being able to pick the right play and the right call at the correct time. And we've seen so much of it with France. Even when they haven't been at their best, he has consistently been very, very good for them. And Toulouse, anytime I've watched them this year, he's been in the conversation for man of the match. So it just shows what a high level he's playing at.
Am I being very harsh to say he's very un-French-like in that level of consistency?
I think you could say that certain players were like that over the course of their career. Elisalde was very consistent. I think Galtier was very consistent. But it does feel as though he brings it to another level currently, and it's all the more highlighted because it's the amount of tries that he is managing to score, and lots of nines are running those high trail lines, anticipating line breaks, but they don't always have the team to provide those line breaks to facilitate them to pick up easy scores. He also clearly has a phenomenal engine, because you watch how many impacts he makes in the last 10 minutes of games as well when things are close. He did it a couple of times against Ulster. You know, he got some tries himself early on, but then manipulating defenses to create space for Cheslin Colby. He got the try that ultimately broke Bordeaux in their semi-final with 6 or 7 minutes to go. So he's an 80-minute player, and when there's tired bodies, usually the replacements are brought on, but you don't need to replace this guy because he just goes and goes and goes.
Well, I guess that's that sign of greatness again, that patience for 70 minutes to just keep doing the right thing all the time and let the others wear themselves out, and then you can show your magic in the final 10 minutes. On that Toulouse starting 15, or likely starting 15, Peter Aki is an interesting name because he spent a season at Connacht. He was there in that tough season under Kieran Keane. Barely played a game. I think there were probably a few eyebrows raised at the time when he ended up at Toulouse, but he looks comfortable in that team.
He's been a real find for them since he arrived a few seasons ago. A very important player for them too. He's going to be all the more important this weekend as well. It looks as though there's potential for Ramos to maybe play at 10, who's back from an ankle injury, and Ntamack might have to move to 12 because Zach Holmes, who's been playing at 13, facilitating a job for them at 13 for the last number of weeks since Gaetun got injured, he looks as though he's torn his hamstring from last weekend. And so it could easily be Ntamack and Peter Aki playing at 13 this weekend. He was man of the match in the semi-final against Bordeaux without doing anything incredible, defensively very solid. Created again, his was the offload that led to DuPont's final try. And again, it's all to do with just moments in tight games. Games tend to be a lot closer when the conditions are against you and you can't create an awful lot. So hopefully we get warm conditions and open running rugby, but it's about making minimal mistakes, and Aki does that for them. He gives them great go forward at times, but he also is very capable of creating space for Labelle and for Medar and for Colby out in the wings as well, and getting Ntamack to be that other distributor. You know, they go with, you know, a lot of that Leinster play, that 9-12 behind 13 to Ntamack to be able to throw to the width. And he sits down defenders by how hard he runs. So very, very good player, and someone that has excelled in a better team. I'm not saying that he wasn't doing that at Connacht, but I guess we didn't know an awful lot of what sort of player he was because we saw so little of him. And when he did go to Toulouse, you thought, gosh, you know, is he a Toulouse standard player? Well, he's subsequently kind of proven us wrong.
They have been pushed at times. You've touched on it a few times there. There have been a lot of close games on the path to the final for Toulouse. And like, they trailed Munster 17-6 at one stage at Thomond Park in the last 16. It was tied against Clermont and Bordeaux at times. When the La Rochelle coaching ticket are looking back at those games, what will they have learned from where those potential weaknesses are that they can actually get at Toulouse?
I don't know if there are that many weaknesses, being brutally honest. I don't think Medar is the player that he was 5-6 years ago, or even a few years ago. He looks a little bit tired. He's less frills about him. The sideburns are still there, but I don't know if, you know, the flair is capable now of pulling them off like it once was. He's a good kicking fullback, doesn't create a massive amount because I think he's lost a yard of speed. But he's a bit like someone to bring out the best in his X factor on either wing. And we talk about Colby, but I think they've got a real find in Labelle as well. He scored for DuPont's second or first try against Munster. He showed wicked footwork to put JJ Hanrahan on his backside, and then nice little hands to DuPont. So this guy had scored an awful lot of tries, 13 or 14 tries in the top 14 this year. Very, very quick, but very elusive. So, you know, they'll be trying to get more ball to him. He scored a great try in the semi-final in within 5 or 6 minutes. Maybe hasn't quite gotten the credit that he deserves. So I think maybe go after Medar because I think he... his decision-making hasn't been brilliant the whole season, and I think he can be squeezed and maybe It's unfair to say he's yellow, but he's not the strongest in contact. And I think he coughs up the ball. So what I would be doing, particularly knowing that you kick the ball a lot, I'd be trying to kick down to him, isolate him, and force him into rush kicks or into carrying the ball himself, and then smother him from a defensive point of view. And then on top of that, you look at, you know, the strengths of what La Rochelle have been good at, you know, more recently, and that line out percentage is very high, second best in the competition. And then the maul has been very effective with some huge ball carrying. So I think, you know, you don't go and reinvent the wheel when you get to the final. You just try and reinforce what has gotten you to that position in the first place.
You sound like you're edging towards Toulouse.
I'm not, because I really think it's a very, very close run thing. And if I had to put my house on it, I'd probably just edge Toulouse, but they've earned that right because they sit above La Rochelle in the top 14. Trying to think who won. I think La Rochelle won in La Rochelle early on in the year. I'm not sure who won.
Yeah, Toulouse have won six of the last seven.
Okay, well, there you go. So the things are stacked up in their favour, and they've got more French internationals. They've got overseas players of real acclaim, you know, World Cup winners in themselves, even though Jerome Kaino is retiring at the end of the year. He still looks as though he offers so many smarts in the game that it's exactly what they need to kind of counter some of their brilliance at halfback. They've got Femuina, who I think is a hugely underrated find for them for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, brilliant scrummager, but his ball handling, likewise Cyril Bai, the Arnold brothers. I just think they look as though when they're a little bit off form, they're a little bit better than La Rochelle. And I think they potentially might edge it, but I really wouldn't be shocked if La Rochelle turned out a performance like they did against Leinster and turned over the four-time champions.
And if La Rochelle win, how many days should we leave it, do you think, before we text Raj to get him to come on? Is it a 48-hour, 72-hour celebration?
Well, no, the thing with Raj is just tell him that there's an extra zero on his contract and he'll ring you 5 minutes after the final whistle.
On that note, remember, listeners, Brian O'Driscoll's DMs are open. He's bored of an afternoon and you may get a response. Brian, great stuff as always.
Cheers. Talk to you, Nathan.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.